B-Pod Studios.
Tub. Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Couple of items here. We'll get to an email in a moment. Yesterday, Commissioner Rob Manfred was on Fox Business Network. And in the course of his appearance on Fox Business Network, he said that Major League Baseball will use robot umpires to call balls and strikes in spring training. That's right. Bobby Valentine's invention, robot umpires, has come to real life this spring training. Do you think it will mean anything for baseball?
No.
Already, a day later.
What happened to pitch clock? No.
Less than a day later. Yeah. Here come the umpires. They're squawking already.
I can't wait because I think the umpires are going to get pissed and the players are going to get pissed. And it's going to be fun to watch because it's not going to be like they don't like the rhythm of the game.
Buster only writes that hours after baseball commissioner Rob Manfred indicated that an electronic strike zone would be used in spring training, the executive committee of the umpires union clarified that news, indicating that the electronics would not be used in place of a plate ump's judgment. Rather, as umpires go through their regular spring work, MLB will be operating an electronic zone for 9 games in Florida as it continues to refine its system that is expected to be implemented in the years ahead. The umpires committee released a statement to ESPN on Wednesday night. It said, reports that MLB will use robo-umps to call balls and strikes in spring training games this year are completely inaccurate. Our understanding is that camera-based tracking will be running in the background during some spring training games for technology development and training purposes. But any game in which a Major League Baseball umpire is working will have a human calling balls and strikes. As far as the balls and strikes go for the umpires, wouldn't at this point you just want it off your plate? They're still going to need a home plate umpire. It's not like there will not be an ump working.
Yeah, it's like putting a device in an ear to say, okay, that's a strike. That's a ball. Just get the call right. Let's get it consistently the same. I like the fact that it would be consistently the same.
So they're saying it's not happening at all. Just so you hear Rob Manfred in his own words.
Okay.
Here's Rob Manfred yesterday.
Okay.
Trying to make sure the interactivity is going on. Let's ask you about this controversy surrounding the use of robots behind the plate instead of umpires counting balls and strikes.
Well, robots may be an overstatement. The system actually is a camera-based system.
Okay.
It does call balls and strikes. We experimented with it in the Atlantic League, which is an independent league last year. We're going to be using it during spring training and in some of our minor league leagues this year. The way it works is the camera calls the ball or strike, communicates to an earpiece that the umpire has in his ear. And from the fan's perspective, it looks exactly like it looks today. We believe over the long haul, it's going to be more accurate. It'll reduce controversy in the game and be good for the game.
So it's as effective or more effective than a human being standing there?
We think it's more accurate than a human being standing there.
Wow, okay, because you probably can have different angles as well.
The current strike zone is designed is actually three-dimensional, and a camera is better at calling a three-dimensional strike zone than the human eye.
And in terms of other technology, getting the fans interacting.
Three-dimensional, third dimension. Listen. Well, cameras, plural, would be better at calling it three-dimensional.
It is,
strike
and there's
zone.
Sure.
Okay, it's like laser surgery. You do laser surgery, like the cameras are going to know the exact angles and cut, like for LASIK or stuff. You want to trust the doctor, say, I'm just going to slice it here myself. We're going to allow the cameras to perfectly get it to where you do the cutting.
So what in there is, that tells you straight up, they're using this system in spring training.
Something's been studied, it tells you.
Something tells me he's got an issue already.
He's got a number on cameras.
So he's got another union to go fight with. Does he cave to this union?
Sure.
In the umpires?
Yeah.
the way he does, he caves to the players' union every time.
Yeah, probably. Posturing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, you thought, boy, this guy was going to be good with the players.
My guess is that this is going to be another thing like we've seen before where, yep, it works in spring training. People liked it, and it moved things along.
Minor league stuff, but we can't use it at the big boy.
And then, yeah, once it's time to implement in the major league, this needs some more research.
No, of course.
Some more thinking on this.
Yeah, no.
How's the umpire union?
Send it back to the lab.
I would say
how's the umpire union?
Probably not as good as the player union.
I mean, they've been broken before. MLB at one point fired them all years ago. And so it's not as good as the players union. But, as long as they're not trying to reduce their pay or fire them, what's the issue here? You still have to sit there and call the balls and strikes. You still have to call plays at the plate. You're still working.
Yeah. Takes away
their authority. You also have to be there to be at the plate in case the system isn't working for a game. You have a human backup. Go back to doing it the way we used to. Call balls and strikes the old-fashioned way.
Just another thing you can't argue.
That's how
player
I look at it.
Player looks back at it. Player looks back at the umpire. Umpire goes, ask the camera.
I didn't call this balls and strikes.
I'm the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger.
Not my call, kid.
You know what? That eliminates.
You got an issue. Take it up with the league.
They can really work on their strikeout calls too if they want. They can really ring them up because they don't have to worry about calling the pitch. They can get ready ahead of time.
They could get creative. Absolutely, they can.
The question is, because we talked about this before, whether or not there'll be a signal that the umpire is there a way to get down onto the field like a buzzer onto the chest or something of somebody who's down on a baseball field. I don't know if that technology exists though.
Do you think it could be triggered by a cell phone text message if need be?
Probably not. I don't think that technology is out there. Just pie in the sky idea.
Can you imagine what if you gave the players the idea? Gave the players the idea to do this? Oh, yeah. They have this?
What if you put your cell phone on vibrate and put it in your pocket and I call you when it's his job? Jim, where's your little weird sound effect?
Wait. Should I pick up? No, don't pick up. That'll ruin it.
This email from David, email of the day here, says, hey, guys.
Hey.
Email of the day.
Says, hey, guys, great show. You guys are the best in Boston. Your personalities work great together. Is that right?
Not say much.
It's nice.
It says, I've been listening to most of the stories about the cheating scandal in baseball, and I wonder if baseball was willing to look the other way on this because the cheating has been good for the offense, which they think is good for baseball. Just like the steroid scandal with McGuire and Sosa when they looked the other way. Can I finish the email?
Yeah.
List?
I like this.
Jesus. It says, when they looked the other way. And ultimately had to have the U.S. Congress investigate baseball because they did nothing about it. If this was a pitching scandal that harmed batters and it hurt offense, I wonder how baseball would have reacted. It seems baseball itself has double standards. Cheating is okay if the cheating helps the popularity of the sport. And he says, I also agree with you, Mark, that they should take away the technology during the game. When it comes to challenges, let them use their naked eye to form a challenge. If they can't tell with their eyes, then leave it alone. It's from David with the email of the day. Okay, so you are obviously very anxious to reply.
Back
to
talk, Tom.
Huh?
I
wanted to do was finish reading the email.
He's right. Was that Houston team fun to watch?
Yeah, they were great.
Yeah, that was a good run. That was a fun run. That actually made me like baseball. That watching that Houston team hit from top of the order to the bottom, and have a little guy like Altuve jack the ball, and have Bregman, as prickly as he is, like we like Brad Marchand, there's their guy in Bregman. Like, I dug it. I dug that run they were on. They were a fun group to watch. He might be right. Maybe, like,
he very well could be onto something here. First of all, I would definitely not put it past baseball to think this way. They've already done this before with the steroids of the 90s. They did not want to investigate that. They did willingly turn a blind eye to it. On this particular scandal, we already know, according to one report, that they wanted to handle the Red Sox incident privately. They were going to deal with that privately after they dealt with the Astros. The only reason they're not dealing with it privately is that there's now been a report. The same two guys who reported on the Astros, Jurelik and Rosenthal, back for more. Woodward and Bernstein of baseball are out there tracking down the cheaters. And so those two came back with a second report, And he had to say, oh, bleep, now we have to investigate them publicly as well. Why have we not heard of a single other investigation since we've heard about the Red Sox when the Astros named 7 or 8 teams? Yeah. Because they don't want to investigate them publicly. Whatever their private handling of them is, it will not be as severe as what they did in Houston. And so, do they want to minimize sort of the bad PR for the sport? Yes. But would they even be in this spot if they probably hadn't just ignored it for the time that they did, knowing that at the end of the day, well, it's not hurting the offense. And in fact, home runs have exploded in the sport. But the problem is this time around, the home runs have not brought people back to the game the way it did in the late 90s. It's just not there. The home runs have become meaningless in baseball, and they're hitting more home runs than ever before.
Yep, and you remember when they took Chapman deep. Like, if it wasn't, you're not rooting for the Yankees, you're going to root for something else. And you almost got on, like, the Astros back that year. And like, let's go. Let's go. Beat the Yankees. But then they came up against you, and then Bregman started running his mouth. Then they started, you started looking at him differently.
I still can't believe that if they had full knowledge of the extent and everybody doing what they were doing, yeah, it's good for baseball, and offense is good. Hey, there are guys wearing buzzers on their chests, and they're getting signals as to whether or not it's a fastball or a changeup coming. Are you okay with that? Well, I don't know. Are they hitting home runs? Yep. Then we're okay with it. That's too much of a leap. Because if that's what it comes down to, and that's what we find out, and we have definitive proof.
But even just more hits.
Either admissions or some other evidence that say, yes, this guy, were absolutely, you know, wearing some kind of a signal indicator. People are going to lose their minds. Yeah. And baseball would have known that. So to say that they knew everything, out of all the allegations that are out there, and Major League Baseball knew about it, and they were okay with it because it meant some more home runs and better averages at home, better OPS in their home parks, it's not enough of a payoff to allow that to happen, knowing the fallout that would come from something like that. I don't believe they would allow it to that extent, no.
Let's get to something that Adam Schefter said this morning on ESPN. He has offered up an opinion on how the Patriots will handle Tom Brady's free agency in the coming 54 days. Right? 54? Is that the right number? 54? 53 days. Damn it. 53 days. Schefter had something this morning on how the Patriots are going to deal with this. We will hear that. You'll hear it from Schefter himself. That's coming up next.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Zoe, and the Beatle. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beatle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Couple of items here. We'll get to an email in a moment. Yesterday, Commissioner Rob Manfred was on Fox Business Network. And in the course of his appearance on Fox Business Network, he said that Major League Baseball...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
This was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Adam Schefter, of course, of ESPN, was on television today. Get Up was the show he was appearing on. Get Up.
That show sucks.
Get Up. Yeah, does anyone watch that? I don't know that really.
Felger said he does.
He does?
Felger does.
Lots
of good stuff comes out of that show, though.
Yeah, we're working like when it's on, so I don't know. Haven't really checked it out for a
Yeah, Get Up to watch it.
Get Up. Is that the one where.
I think it's on 7 to 10.
Oh, it is?
First Take's on while we're on.
Oh. So this is the one with.
Greenberg.
With Mike Greenberg.
Yep. $6.5 million a year.
Okay, yeah. I've checked out 5 minutes of that show before. It just
Dan Orlovsky.
Do you know what it feels like? It feels like SportsCenter with some takes thrown in. Like, it's, I don't know. It's ESPN. ESPN is what it is. So, $6.5 million a year?
Uh-huh.
Greenberg, yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah. Damn. And Stephen A. Smith's making eight.
Yeah. God!
Yeah.
We gotta yell more. Yeah! We gotta start yelling more. We have some build up some rants around here. Okay, here's what Schefter has to say about the Patriots and their handling of Tom Brady this offseason. He's a very informed guy, so when he's dropping an opinion like this, I would say it's probably informed, but it doesn't feel like he's exactly reporting it. Here it is.
Well, here's the situation. I don't believe the New England Patriots are waiting till March 16th to get an answer from Tom Brady. Right? Last year, Rob Gronkowski wound up retiring in late March. Now, I don't know the conversations they didn't have before, but New England missed the window on free agent tight ends. So I don't think that they're going to let Tom Brady go to free agency, all of a sudden sign with Team X, and then on March 20th say, well, what do we do at quarterback now?
So
that's not the way that organization operates.
I agree.
Except they did a year ago.
Yeah.
So
I said this a week ago.
They do, but here's my problem with this.
What's that?
If that's true, if he's getting that from somewhere and it's not just his opinion, that's a tell.
And the date's important.
The date is important because it's before tampering.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't even want to allow him to tamper. They don't even want him to allow him to get to a meeting with somebody else.
I wouldn't if you want him back, you do it now.
Well, my thought is they fear.
You got to make a decision.
What if they want him?
What if they don't?
Okay, no.
No, we're going to stick with what if they want him for the purpose of the conversation.
If they don't want him, it doesn't matter. None of this matters if they don't want him.
If they don't want him, it doesn't matter.
Right.
They don't give a crap. Go do whatever. We had another plan. So I think it's a tell in a couple of ways. Number one, it tells you they do want him back. That their plan, as Robert Kraft said in New York City to TMZ, that's our plan. We're planning on it. We're planning on trying to get him back. So they are planning to get him back. If they want him back, they feel like if he goes to the tampering period, that's pretty much going to the market. You can fully talk to anybody about anything.
I think if this gets to March, he's gone.
They feel like he's gone.
Yeah,
they feel
I agree
he's
with
not
that.
Coming back if they get that.
I exactly feel the same way. And I said they screwed it up with Gronkowski. Whether it's their fault or not, but there's no way Bill would go into that offseason without a tight end plan if he didn't have a belief that that guy was coming back at some point. You know what I'm saying?
So it tells us that the next month or so is very critical here. That for something to get done, the next month is very important. The next month plus, whatever.
Well, you don't go with them an insulting offer, do you?
No, but you try and have the conversation about what it's going to take to get it over with.
We want you. I think if you're going to have that conversation, you decide you want him. I think you've got to come in with a high price. I think the for him negotiating this possibility for him not to get franchised, for him to fit free agency, says I'm done taking the low ball. I'm done taking it.
Okay. Well,
okay.
What that number is?
If you want him, you
got to.
You maybe you start at 30 and say we got a 2-year offer for 30.
It's two partners.
If you want him to make a deal though by the 16th, then he's going to turn around and say, "Okay, that's going to cost you." If you want me to make a deal before I hit the market,
yes,
this is why he did this.
So part one is that they. I think it's a tell that they want him back. The second part of it is that they don't want him to get to that, and they think he's going to be gone, but they don't want to be left there at the start of free agency waiting around to get his answer. The draft is not until the end of April. It's like a month later,
right?
Which means they're in the market for free agent quarterbacks?
I would say no.
Well, then why does it matter? Then you can wait around. And the only thing you're missing here is free agents. If you wait on Brady, if you wait until the third week of April on Brady, which it ain't going to go that far. We all know that. It'll be decided before then. But if you wait on Brady, what are you missing out on?
Yeah. They sell that house in Brookline yet? Still there, right?
Still there. So what is it? What would you lose out on? And I think that tells you maybe they're interested in going after a free agent quarterback if Brady is not here, and they prefer the free agent route as opposed to the drafting development route. Maybe it's we think Stidham could be the future, but he's not there yet. And in the meantime, we need to go get somebody, and we're not going to be caught at the start of free agency behind the eight ball. Like, we're not going to be behind it here.
What's the day today? Like the 22nd, 23rd, something like that, 23rd? If you had to bet your house right now as to whether he'd be back or gone, what would you on this day the way you think it's going? If you had to put your house on it. I'd put my house on it that he would be back.
I still think at the end of the day, it's better than 50% that he is in New England.
Yeah. Already?
Yeah.
He's back. Like, I think he knows.
If for no other reason, I don't know what else they're going to do.
It's like for the Manning thing, too.
Eli, they may not want to pay. They may not want to pay him what he's, you know, wants, and they may want to go over what they want to pay, but what else are you going to do?
And I think Bill knows this, too. All takes is one team, one crazy team. You need one offer. Is Mark Davis stupid?
But I'm with you. Don't let him get to that point.
You can't. And I think Brady just wants that. I got you now. A little pressure on you now.
Yeah, is this the response to the UFC fights over the weekend?
Could be. Could be posturing, too. I never rule it out.
This is going to get good. Just don't sign tomorrow.
It could be them just trying to force him into getting to the table and getting a deal done before the 16th because they know he probably ultimately wants to stay here. And they don't want to let him get to the market and get an offer on the 16th, which is why the date is the 16th and not the 18th.
And if he wants weapons, listen, we need to know what you're doing before we can go out and get the weapons on the 16th.
Make that case to him.
Yeah, Bill's down in Mobile today with Nick Saban, too, at the Senior Bowl. They're going over stuff.
There's almost always a surprise, though. Like, you know, we rarely call these things exactly. What's going to be the one hiccup that nobody or very few people called ahead of time? Is it going to be 1 year? Is it going to be three? You know, is it going to be one with the announcement of, you know, with the pre-announcement of retirement along with the 1 year?
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah, hey. what's the one part of this that we're not seeing?
Three may take New England off the board.
Seriously, because if they come back,
we're not doing three. We'll entertain two. We're not going to do
right.
Three.
If they come back and say, all right, it's a done deal, Tom Brady. It's a 1 year deal with an option for his second year. That's, you know, very attractive to both parties. No one's going to be surprised by that.
Where's that dead money go? See, that's another thing, too, adding that year, because you got the 13.5 floating there.
There's going to be something that we don't see coming at all.
The man's been well compensated.
What if they want another quarterback, even if Brady does come back, and they want to get that quarterback in free agency on the 16th? So they want to lock Brady up before that so they can get another guy to come in.
Yeah.
Maybe not to take over right away, but maybe for next year.
Well, that'd be disappointing on Stidham, then. See, I think they like Stidham. I don't think they like Stidham the way they like Jimmy at that point, you know. But remember, Jimmy was here for 3-4 years. Stidham's only been here for one. How much has that kid absorbed in like 10 months, you know? He's done a pretty damn good job. For them to just say, hey, we're going to bring in an outside. Like, I don't even like go to these free agents. Like I said, the free agent class sucks. Really does. They know it. Like, what's Bill want to do? Does Bill want to get in his thing to be competitive, to win 10 games, to show I can win without him? Or what am I doing here in Mobile? Should be in the damn Super Bowl. Brady helps you. You put the right piece around Brady. Brady can still function top five, I think. I do. I think he can play top five type level football with really good pieces around him. You know? I look at Tannehill. I think Tannehill played so well the last 2 months. Oh, wow. I'm out of Miami. And Jesus, look what I have around me. Freaking running back, good tight ends, slot guy, two wideouts, two studs. Okay, defensive plays hard, well-coached team, smart.
Don't say Tannehill. Don't say Tennessee. That's the big hiccup. That's the one that...
See, I
laughed it off before.
It almost makes too much sense, but I know. Schefter might be right. It might be an outlier nobody's even talking about.
What, Tennessee?
No, like a Denver or an Indy. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, something's going to surprise us when this all comes out.
What
if we can figure it out, it won't be a surprise.
Not a surprise. Gotta leave it, figure it out later. We'll be surprised when it happens. Hardy has headlines. We got one more segment before we get to today's takeaways. You see the story in Philly about the mascot?
Yeah.
And I do sort of want to touch on that today before
these damn Philly
Bad
people.
Choice awards.
Philly people and mascots.
Touch on that?
Yeah.
What? What?
Wait, what kind of assault was it?
Oh, I thought it was some kind of inappropriate contact.
No, I think it was punching.
No,
face.
He punched him.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, punch him.
He wound
face.
Up and drilled him.
Punch a 13-year-old in the face.
Well, I read a lot of Furby fan porn, so I must have got the two mixed
You're
up last night.
You're freaking headlines, would you?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. It's he got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ooh. Ooh. Say, ooh, what's that for? A shout out to Tony and Elaine of the North End. Talking about meatballs. Mm. Massive mozzarella sticks. Tony Elaine's. North End. Check them out. Good sauce.
Gritty, the Flyers mascot. He's being brought up on.
Is he the one always dancing on the dugout?
Yeah, he's the big orange blob thing.
Yeah, with the Google.
Yeah. No, you're thinking of Philly the Fanatic. This is the one. Look behind you. Gritty. It's the new one in Philly.
Gritty, the Flyers mascot.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Gritty.
It's like. It's like Animal from the Muppets.
From the
Dynamite!
Philly Inquirer. Here's the headline. Did Gritty punch a 13-year-old boy in the back? Philadelphia detectives are investigating.
That is Philly.
This is the most Philly headline ever. Like, of course, Philly's mascot punched a 13-year-old kid.
Kid probably deserved it.
It says, Chris Greenwell took his boy Brandon to the Wells Fargo Center one night in November to meet the most famous person on the Philadelphia Flyers payroll. Gritty! The Flyers had invited Greenwell and his 13-year-old son to get a photo and some FaceTime with the fuzzy, googly-eyed mascot, all part of an exclusive event for season ticket holders. But after waiting in line for about an hour behind dozens of fans to get to Gritty, something shocking happened, according to Greenwell. Gritty punched Brandon in the back. In Greenwell's telling, Brandon playfully patted the mascot on the head. I don't buy it. I don't believe he playfully tapped him on the head. I think he probably punched the mascot.
Yeah, just being a prick to the mascot.
It's a big problem in the mascot world.
I agree.
They get beat up by people.
Look at him. How's he
people
supposed
think,
to see
oh, let's hit him. There's a person in there, you dumbass.
Right.
What are you doing? You're 13. You're not stupid. You know there's a person in there. You know the mascot's not real.
Hardy, what's the name of that movie with Tom Arnold? Nine months where the lady gets pregnant with Will. What's his name? Our favorite actor, the Brit, is in the movie, and he beats the hell out of that Barney thing at the toy store.
I didn't see it.
Oh, jeez! Like of all the movies you didn't see.
I'm sorry.
Hello, Mussolini. You go boom. They just start beating the hell. There's certain mascots you just want to tee off on, though.
It says that Brandon playfully patted the mascot on the head after the photo was taken, and as he walked away, Gritty got out of his chair. Took a running start.
This is great.
And quote, punched my son as hard as he could. How does he know how hard Gritty can punch? How does he know it's the hardest punch Gritty's ever thrown? This is what he said on Wednesday. Officials at the company that owns the Flyers said that Greenwell told him there's no video footage because the cameras in that area are not focused on where the Gritty mascot was set up. According to emails between Greenwell and the officials, the company declined to identify who was playing Gritty that day. It said it conducted an investigation that included interviews with that person and could not verify Greenwell's account. We took Mr. Greenwell's allegations seriously and conducted a thorough investigation that found nothing to support this claim. That's what the Flyers spokesperson said last night. Greenwell said he took his son to see a chiropractor.
Oh, boy.
About a week after the incident.
Doctor.
The chiropractor noted that Brandon suffered from mild pain and diagnosed him with a back bruise. A freaking back bruise?
Father probably kicked him and said, here, we're going to go here and get some money. What if this was a woman in the mascot? What if it wasn't a man? Gritty.
Yeah.
I'm kind of on Team Gritty here.
They're not saying who.
Are you on Team
They're
Gritty?
Not saying who was in the costume that
I
day.
I think the kid was probably being a, you know what? A little, you know what?
Yes.
A cocky, you know what?
A back bruise a week later.
Oh.
And far from me or any of us to say anything, especially about a child, just based on the photo of the kid and whether or not he looks like somebody who would maybe, you know, punch a mascot in the head. Would you ever say anything like that?
Sure, I would. Yeah. What do you mean? Like, do I think a 13-year-old would...
We're not saying that just based on the photo.
Oh, what is it? The photo doesn't tell us anything.
By looking at the kid, does that look like a kid who might punch a mascot? You can't say that.
How would you know? Does a 13-year-old who does punch a mascot look like?
I'll show you.
Kind of looks like this kid.
Oh. There it is. There's the proof. And now the police have to investigate this nonsense? And it's January 22nd that this comes to light? You waited 2 months to say anything?
Think about what these mascots go through. You got that damn Jamal Adams hitting Pat Patriot last year.
So this guy claims that the mascot punched his 13-year-old son so hard that his son still had a bruise a week later.
Yeah.
And their reaction, there was no reaction at the scene, like when this went down.
We did go to a chiropractor.
How many other people were probably there in line and saw whatever it is that happened?
He didn't take him to the hospital. He took him to the chiropractor, okay? So he's got that on record at least.
Yeah, all the regular doctors were all busy giving vaccinations.
Yeah, emergency room was closed that day.
And far be it from me.
You know, real proven medical science.
Far be it from any of us to say a kid deserves that. But you waited in line an hour to have your photo taken with a mascot. You deserve to get punched in the back, just on general principle.
You never took your kids to Disney.
Common sense law.
Yeah,
you need some common sense
punched into your spine. You just stood in line for an hour have your picture taken with that mascot? I mean, if it's, you know, a good mascot, if it's Wally, now I get it.
No.
You've
never been to Disney.
90 minutes.
You've never been to Disney.
Very tall.
If Katie loved the Little Mermaid and you go to the under the sea thing and she's there and you could stand in line and it says iron half wait to see Ariel. And then you go, now you're an hour. Once you're past that hour, man, you're hanging.
What about those characters? What?
Ariel, Little Mermaid.
Yeah, but you're there for an hour?
Ariel. An hour.
Air.
An hour.
Air.
Hour and a half or an hour. Then it,
once again.
Timelines, 45 minutes from this point, hour from this point.
That's why no Disney in our family. Sorry, Dan Roach. I know that it hurts you in your special place.
You know, and everybody wants to see Mickey, so that line's 2.5.
Wait.
Nobody ever wants.
What's the Bruins mascot? Is that Blades?
Blades.
Blades.
Yeah. Would you stand in line for an hour with your kid so you can get his picture taken? And I like Blades. That's a good mascot. It's a good looking mascot. That's fun. Kids
we
like.
Went to the Frozen 2 movie premiere.
The kid's 13 years old.
Tell this story. Listen to this one.
I got a 13-year-old. Hey, Katie, stand with me for an hour to get your picture taken with this mascot. She'd say, "Are you out of your freaking mind?" She wouldn't say that.
They had all the Frozen characters there. And my wife wanted away with all three kids like for probably over an hour. And we got in line. I'm like, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? And I complained enough to the point where she finally let us get out of line.
So you didn't think it was worth it then?
No, it was not worth it.
And that's with little kids.
Have you seen the little Bertrand boys here when they're running around just looking through the window? Imagine them making them stay.
Trying to keep them still for an hour? No shot.
No, I've spent enough time around those boys.
Those boys
can run. I love those boys. But
we need to play hide and seek here.
They are high energy.
High energy. Yep.
The old man, bring pizza. Bring him back in.
Wear you out.
Zoe loves it. They think Zoe's a child. They do.
They asked for a play date.
Hey, we got another play date? I'm like, not play date. It's a grown-ass man. What? They don't understand. They think Zoe's a big kid.
So he told him yes, but it has to be supervised.
It's a supervised.
He's not allowed in 300 feet of a school.
Today's takeaways are coming up next. The kid deserved it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, time for today's takeaways brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Never too late to set up a consultation or give them a call at awaken180weightloss.com. Make January or February first time that losing weight will never be a New Year's resolution for you again. Get it done. Get it done. What do we got today?
What do we have today there, Jim?
We got Jim. Jimbo.
We got a lot of stuff, actually.
Oh, do we?
The reporter that we had from the iguana story.
Yes.
His laughter. Sounded, we thought it sounded a little like Beatles laughter from yesterday. Uh-huh. We'll hear the reporter first again. Okay. And then Beatle reading the tweets, or looking at the tweets from, what was it, Kiara Mia?
Kiara Mia. Mm-hmm. Very similar.
Now, a little more perverted there.
Giggity.
Kinky laugh.
Giggity.
That's a kinky laugh.
Very similar. Very good. Good pickup. Good ear.
You and Hardy predicting what the first words out of the halftime show would be?
Miami! Miami!
Oh, I wish you added more context to that. The build-up to us yelling, Miami!
Some good songs.
Miami! Miami!
It's an easy halftime show to do. A lot to pick from.
Zoe doing how long you could say the word brave national anthem.
Oh, this was awesome today.
Brave.
4.5 seconds.
That was long. I just got winded there.
The old
brave. But am I right?
The over under.
That's the word where you can own
5.5.
You can own that.
Yeah, because what she did was, right? In the home of that. And she goes, brave. Like, she just carries it on. Like, what are you doing here? Now it's all about you.
14 syllables.
Now it's all about you and not about the country.
Yeah.
You guys talking about butt cleavage?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Butt cleavage, does that mean...
lower buttock crease?
Does that mean crease? Does that mean, a cheek hanging out? What are we talking about here? Is that considered butt cleavage?
You should get Maz. Maz is the expert.
Is the cheek fully covered?
Butt cleavage.
Is it about the crack or the cheeks? What are we talking about here?
I don't know. But
what does it have to be? I just
tried to Google butt cleavage and my computer was shut down. So butt cleavage is minor exposure of the buttocks and the intergluteal cleft between them, often because of low-rise pants.
So that indicates crease. Crevice.
So you're talking upper rear.
Yeah. Upper rear.
North crack.
North crack.
North pole.
Plumber's crack.
The worst kind.
As it was referred to up until 2 hours ago in my mind, but now I know it as butt cleavage. It's different.
Got to start using that from now on.
Yeah.
Butt cleavage.
We didn't radio it long enough. It's
hey, Sam, you're showing a little
table.
Butt cleavage there. I mean, I appreciate you fixing the sink there, but I'm going to hike that up.
We have two more things. We can do one, both, or none.
Do them both.
Well, why don't you? Just...
You guys singing Hootie, Time. We've done that a few times.
We've done that.
Again. And Tom in Worcester sent us a song.
Oh.
About the iguana.
Do it. About the iguanas.
Yes.
All right.
I haven't heard this, but I sent it along, so let's hear it.
Cold as ice is the corner, cold as ice, the basement.
There is cold as ice. Iguanas, they pay the price, I know.
Yes, I know. Could have thrown that in there, but all right, go ahead.
A lot of music.
They live in paradise, but sometimes it's not so nice, I know.
Yes.
Seen it before, it happens all.
Doing karaoke.
I don't know what he's saying. up, Tom? I'm going to go down on that one, though. Not his best work.
Well, it's just...
I'd call it like a
not, not his most creative work, is what I would say.
It sounds like Beetlewonky.
Sounds good.
Sounds
he always
good.
Sounds good.
Yeah. The sound is not the problem.
I just thought we were listening to Foreigner there.
Maybe it was too good.
I think.
By the way, did you know that Tom in Worcester sang the anthem at Fenway once?
Yeah.
And it was recorded.
Yeah, like a cop.
Yeah.
Not surprised. Very much in line with what Hardy told us today. Yeah.
Well, I don't say for all anthems, all games, but Super Bowl, yes, recorded, 100%. No way they let them do that live.
Right.
Hey, speaking of songs, Felger, how about that new Pearl Jam track? Have you heard that?
I haven't heard it yet.
Not good. Not a lot of good reviews.
Don't do it.
Stay away from it.
Don't listen to it.
Like a lot of bad things out there about it.
You like Pearl Jam?
Play the hits.
Leave this one alone.
Play the hits. I don't need none of this new stuff. Once you got it figured out.
I like to like new things. I'm not in the business of going out of my way to not like stuff. I want to like it. I can't like it.
You think it'd be great if like Van Halen came out with a new album? Like now? No.
No, but Pearl Jam's still got the same lineup. It doesn't matter. They can still play. They're still doing it.
The hits work, though.
Well, this is different. A lot of keyboardy stuff.
Ooh.
It sounds more Talking Heads, like a bad Talking Heads song.
We might have to sample some of
this anything approaching a good Pearl Jam song. Maybe we should listen to a bit of it tomorrow.
Maybe we'll do a little tomorrow. We'll put a little 5 minutes aside.
Okay.
All right.
Very good.
We also have to recap our Radio Row from last year
before we go
this year.
Radio Row recap.
I like that idea. All right, we'll do that coming up tomorrow before we head off to Radio Row. Felger Mass coming your way next. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. See you later, Zoe.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. It's Felger and Maserati on Thursday, January 23rd, here from our Town Fair Tire Studios at the beautiful Beasley Media Group in Dorchester, Massachusetts. Maz, Murray, how you guys doing?
Good. You?
It's a big day on the program. Have an announcement to make right off the top. Felger and Maz will have a name change. We are no longer Felger and Maz. We are now Felger and Maz presented by DraftKings.
Yep.
We have a title sponsor, Maz.
We do.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.